A fortune in fabulous prizes may go to these people today if they know when the price is right. Libby Holzkenner, stand up. Jeannie Smiley, stand up. Lynn Stone, stand up. Boo Boo Cooper, stand up. Come on down and play the new Price is Right. And now here's the star of the new Price is Right, Bob Barker.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the new Price is Right. If you like excitement, you have come to the right place. Someone in this studio audience will win thousands of dollars in prizes today. And it all begins with this first item up for bids on the new Price is Right.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian, your host. Welcome to our show today. It's March, early part of March, March the 9th, if I've got that straight, here on 2016. And welcome to our show today. Did you hear that in the beginning of the show? We had Bob Barker and The Price is Right. I know that is throwback going back, but what a great show. I like that show. I'm telling on myself. But the reason we had Bob Barker, The Price is Right, because, you know, on that show, they always had appliances, the newest washer and dryer, the newest stoves, the newest microwaves, everything. So on our show today, that's our theme. Our theme is new appliances. For the 2016, you're gonna hear from a store, from a company that's gonna tell us about new appliances. All right. Okay, before we go on to our 2016 appliance show here on The Flavor, you know, we want to talk about what happened also this week. It was on a Tuesday. The show airs on Wednesday, but on Tuesday was Pancake Day, Shrove's Day. Our guest on the show reminded me, he was like, Brian, did you know today's Pancake Day? I was like, oh, really? Yes, and all the IHOPs, and the whole, but I wanted to find out the meaning of Shrove's Day, Pancake Day. So we talked to some, we found somebody, and they're going to give us what happens on this day, the Shrove's Day. Then we're going to go back to our review of the appliances for 2016. Here's what happens on Shrove's Day.
Shrove Tuesday is the day before Ash Wednesday, which is the first day of Lent, which is 40 days before Easter, and 29 days before my birthday. Well, it's 40 days before Easter if you don't count the Sundays, because Lent is, you know, never mind. We're talking about Lent in another episode, and we're talking about my birthday. Never. Thank you for that. So, Shrove Tuesday, or Fat Tuesday, or maybe you recognize Pancake Tuesday. Ah, it's all clicking now, isn't it? Now, the word shrove is the past tense of the verb shrive. And we all know what that means, don't we? Yeah, I didn't think so. Shrive means to receive absolution by confessing and doing penance. So Shrove Tuesday got its name from the shriving that Christians were supposed to do immediately before Lent. Lent being a time to prepare for Easter through prayer or repentance, and most commonly, perhaps, self-denial, like giving up sweets or fatty foods or reality television. Now, preparing for that self-denial meant limiting the good things that you might find tempting. So, traditionally, for many, Shrove Tuesday became Fat Tuesday or even Pancake Tuesday, because making a pancake is a way to use up all the rich foods like eggs and milk and sugar before the fasting season of the 40 days of Lent. Now, this is a particularly effective practice if you like jelly bean, chocolate chip, leftover pie pancakes, which I do. Of course, at our church, Shrove Tuesday always means a pancake breakfast. Someone has to eat them, right? Use up all the fat and sugar and jelly beans. All right. To learn more, you can ask your pastor.
Oh, how is that something? Oh, yeah, good. Really tasty jelly beans.
Okay, that was Chuck from Chuck Knows church. It was telling us about the day of Shrove's Day or Pancake Day. Both of them are the same. As you can tell, it's a Christian holiday for, you know, as far as Lent is concerned. I think it's really cool. I think it's good. Very good. But our show today, our theme of our show, as you guys were listening, I hope you guys are listening, is appliance here on Flavor Living Radio. And we went to, in the Delaware Valley, in that area, Pennsylvania. We go to Pennsylvania and we talked to a company called Kiefer's Appliances. And here we go.
And we have on our show, representing Kiefer's Appliances, is Colonel. How's it going? Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. How's it going?
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on Flavor Living Radio. Certainly very excited to talk about appliances. I live, breathe, sleep. I don't eat appliances, of course.
Yes, of course.
Certainly immersed in appliances on a daily basis.
Yeah, I thought, hey, let me, you know, we need to find out what's the trends here, you know, going in, you know, early in the months of 2016. And, you know, Kiefer's, you told me earlier, and I researched it, your company started in 1917.
Correct, yes. We are a family-owned business. We are located about 45 minutes northwest of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Fourth generation in business, owned by the Kiefer family, started back in 1917 by a gentleman named John E. Kiefer, and have certainly been in business since then. Kind of got into the appliances a little bit later. We started out as a tire company. And well, what's interesting about this, it's kind of a funny story how we got into appliances.
Okay.
John E. Kiefer was selling tires, but he also, to kind of make ends meet, he sold blocks of ice. If you you probably don't remember, but years ago, people had literally ice boxes, which was the precursor to refrigerators. So he sold blocks of ice to the people in the Philadelphia area. And one day he started to notice that his ice sales were declining, and he's thinking to himself, why am I losing business? And it turns out people were buying refrigerators and they no longer needed ice to be delivered to their home. So he said, if I can't deliver ice anymore, I'm going to start selling the refrigerators. So lo and behold, we started selling refrigerators and then vacuums and all sorts of stuff like that. Fast forward to 2016, and we really concentrate on major kitchen appliances and laundry appliances.
Wow, can you imagine? And he already had the customer base already with the ice. He already had the customer base.
Correct. You know? So it was kind of the natural progression of getting into the appliance business, and you know, we've never looked back.
Now, I mean, here is 2016. I have a list of just like different words, buzzwords, and I was just going to say some, you know, and then you can. It's kind of like a word association for appliances.
Okay, I'm excited. Let's do this.
All right. Okay, first one is the, I guess I would say countertops. The countertops. What's trending in the countertops?
In terms of countertop appliances, okay. So what you have in terms of countertop appliances, really what we deal with, I mean, certainly you have your toaster ovens and your blenders and stuff like that. That's not really our bread and butter. We're not doing the small appliances like that. We're dealing with major appliances. So in terms of countertops, people are really turning to cooktops. And how I describe cooktops, especially for a podcast like this, is think of your countertop as the water, as the ocean, okay?
Okay.
And the cooktop is an island. So the cooktop drops into your countertop, and it's surrounded entirely by the countertop. I hope the listeners at home kind of can visualize that.
Yes.
And these cooktops come in a variety of different types. Specifically, they'll come in gas versions, they'll come in electric versions, but particularly of importance or of interest to your listenership is going to be induction cooktops. And this is a real big trend that we are seeing here. Our customers are really asking for induction cooktops. And what's induction? A crash course on induction is this. and I'm not a physicist, so you have to bear with me.
No. Yes,
but
yes.
The law of induction states that when I generate a magnetic field and that magnetic field interacts with iron, heat is the byproduct. So when an induction cooktop is turned on, it actually does not create heat at all. Rather, it generates a magnetic field, and that reacts with your cookware. So the cookware that you use has to have iron in it. So a cast iron frying pan would work beautifully. And there's a variety of different pots and pans that would be billed as induction ready because they have the element of iron in it. So what ends up happening, and what customers kind of have a problem wrapping their head around, is when I turn on a gas cooktop, we see the fire. And we know that that fire is heating up the pot or the pan. If I have an electric cooktop, we feel that cooktop get warm, and that heat then heats the pan. But with induction, the magnetic field is created, and that interacts with the pot or the pan, and the pot and the pan becomes essentially the source of the heat. So what the byproduct is you get incredibly faster boil times. If you compared that to a standard electric cooktop, okay? And it's much more energy efficient than an electric cooktop. We don't have the open flames like we would with a gas cooktop. We still have a smooth glass surface that's very easy to clean. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with that smooth top electric cooking that we see in appliances all over the place. But this induction is a real big trend. Something that I hear, and it's kind of a little bit of a trivia, people think, oh, man, this is new technology. I'm afraid to use this new technology. And what's interesting about it is it's not new technology. Induction cooking was used in World War II submarines, because the last thing you want in an enclosed metal tube under the water is an open flame like a gas burner or something like that. So induction technology has been around for a while. It's now been streamlined, refined, perfected, and more importantly, more cost-effective to use in a residential kitchen nowadays.
I just can't. I mean, just are a lot of people that they're when they come into the store, they say, this is what do you have to demonstrate to them? You demonstrate like,
well,
hey, this is what it is.
We do. Yeah, because I can talk until I'm blue in the face, but until people actually see it in action, it's really almost like magic. Because if I turn on this cooktop and an induction cooktop and I put my hand directly on it, I will never feel any heat. But as soon as I put an iron based pot or pan on there, it starts to get hot. So people think, like, how is this even possible? And you have to think about it's the magnetic field interacting with the iron in the cooking vessel, and that's what's creating the heat. So it's much more efficient than standard electric cooking, and it's very responsive. Like, if you're cooking with gas, and I'm sure a lot of the chefs that you have on here are cooking with gas, okay, you know that if you have a boiling pot and you want to turn it to low, all you have to do is turn down that flame. And it's almost instantaneous. That boil goes from a boil to a simmer. Mm-hmm. With induction, it's the same kind of idea. If you go from a high to a low, the level of magnetism, the magnetic field, is altered, and the reaction time is very quick. So you go from a boil to a simmer almost instantaneously. Like I said, I can talk until I'm blue in the face, but once customers actually see it in person, the light bulb goes off. They go, oh, I get it. So induction is a great technology for customers who can't run a gas line into their home for whatever reason, but they want to have as close to cooking with gas as possible. And that's what induction does. It gives you that versatility, that control that sometimes electric cooking doesn't give you.
So man, this one topic here on the countertop. So basically also, would it be, you know, some camping or if they're going on a vacation, would that also, would you have remote countertops like that too?
Well, you can certainly buy induction cooking in a variety of different applications. They do make smaller kind of one-burner portable units. You still have to plug it into an outlet somewhere.
I understand.
But, you know, from our standpoint, we don't get into that end of the business. We're selling the appliances that install in the kitchen. They're not going anywhere. But to answer your question, you absolutely can get induction technology in more of a portable application.
Ooh, now that's new. That's really new for
It's really okay. Wild stuff. I mean,
woo!
When I first saw it, I couldn't believe it either.
Yeah.
And I know you interview a lot of chefs, and even some chefs now are switching over from gas to induction because they really, really like it. And once you get used to it, it becomes a really effective way to cook. And here's an example. I'm sure your listeners make pancakes. Everybody loves pancakes. And incidentally,
yes.
It's National Pancake Day. I didn't know. I don't know if you know that, but today is International Pancake Day.
I didn't. Wow.
It is. So when you cook that first pancake, everybody burns that first pancake because you're still adjusting
the
heat, right? Yeah, it always gets burned. But with induction, if you know, hey, when I set my induction cooktop to level 6, I know that that temperature is perfect for that pancake. And you're not burning any of them because you just set it right to level 6, and now you're cooking away and you're good to go.
Wow. So more control.
More control.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep.
How about, you know, the microwave? Because, you know, microwave is, you know, and I remember as time goes on, you can click potato, seafood, and different things. So how is the microwave? Has that changed to new microwave styles?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, there's still what we would consider a traditional microwave, and that does the job that we would expect a microwave to do. For example, it's going to reheat a plate of food. It's going to reheat your coffee. It's going to pop your popcorn, all that stuff that we expect a microwave to do. However,
there's a however. There's a however.
There's a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Here. Okay. I
can talk your ear off about this stuff. You don't know what you're getting into here.
Yeah. Let's go. All right.
Okay. So everybody typically wants a microwave in their kitchen, but they don't really want to see it. Okay. Some people feel it's an eyesore. They don't want to put it on their countertop. They don't want to put it inside a cabinet. So a huge, huge trend that we're seeing here with our customers, our clientele, is moving to what's called a microwave drawer. And it's literally a drawer. Just like you, it opens out like a drawer. You put items inside of it. The drawer closes. The benefit of this is not so much from the microwave technology. It does the same thing. It pops your popcorn, it reheats your coffee. But it gives you the ability to get it out of eyesight, to get it off of the countertop, to put it in an island or under the counter somewhere. So it's out of the way, it's out of sight. And that's a huge trend, is a microwave drawer. And they come in
that is a trend itself.
I keep on hitting the ground, but I always get up now to see what's next.
Welcome back to Flavor Living Radio. That was Shakira, Try Everything. She is telling the truth. But man, we have to get back to our interview and find out about the microwave in the drawer, y'all. The microwave in the drawer. That's new. That's new trends right there. We got to go back.
That's a big topic. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a variety of manufacturers make them. You have a few size options. Okay, so there's a lot of choice out there for the microwave drawer, but I'm going to take it to the next level for you.
Okay.
There's new technology. When I say new, you know, 5-10 years in that range. And it's called a speed oven. Okay, now what a speed oven is it's a microwave. So it does everything you would expect a microwave to do. You can switch it to a regular oven mode so you could bake cookies in there.
Okay.
But then what you can do is it combines both the technologies at the same time. So you're literally microwaving and using thermal heat at the same time. The end result is much, much, much faster cooking times. Now, if you interview a lot of chefs on your show, okay,
yes,
and you have a lot of foodies call in and stuff like that, the first thing a chef would say is you never microwave anything to cook it, right? If you microwave a chicken breast, it's going to get all rubbery, okay?
Yes,
microwave bread.
Even us home cooks, home cooks are like that too.
Absolutely.
Because we're always, you look at the microwave, you're like, you're worried, like, man, you know, if I put this in there, what's going to happen, you know?
Exactly. But how a speed oven differs is that it utilizes microwave technology, but it utilizes a lower wattage, and it uses bursts of microwave. And when you use these bursts of microwave at a lower wattage and you combine that with the thermal heat, you do not get the texture decay that you would if you just used a microwave. So, for example, if you're cooking like those buttery crescent rolls, you know,
okay,
I love those things. I could eat a million of those at a time. They take about 20 minutes in an oven, right? In a speed oven, they can take 12 minutes.
Wow.
So exactly. Sometimes a speed oven can cook stuff up to 8 times faster than a regular oven. So that's a really big trend that we're seeing because everybody's family today is busy, right? Everybody's got a job. Some people have multiple jobs.
Yeah, couldn't you imagine
kids.
Thanksgiving? Even Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could just put your boom, bam, you know.
Absolutely. So this speed oven gives you that flexibility. Oh, my gosh, I forgot to put in the rolls. They're going to take 30 minutes to do. No, not with a speed oven. They're going to take 20 minutes. Maybe they're going to take 15 minutes. So you really cut down that cooking time. And that's a huge trend. So between the microwave drawers and the speed ovens, that there's your microwave trends for your listeners right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Refrigerators. Because this is like, now I know, you know, I've seen some topics. I just have to listen to the trends on the refrigerators.
Sure. So refrigerators, we're not reinventing the wheel here, right? I mean, we know it's a compartment that keeps stuff cold. Okay,
right.
But the real trend is, and this trend kind of applies to some other appliances that I'm sure we'll get to later in the show, but the trend with refrigerators is I don't want to see it. I want it to disappear in my kitchen.
Okay.
So there are a variety of products that we call panel ready. And when we talk about a panel ready appliance, particularly with refrigerators, that means that you can take the wood panel, that matches your cabinetry, okay? And you can put that on the front of your refrigerator. So it completely disappears. So it just blends in with the rest of the cabinetry around it. You have no idea it's there.
I see this on like MTV Cribs or, you know, when they do kind of the celebrities. And so now they have it where it's affordable now for
people. Well, affordable is relative, okay? I mean, you can't get
very good. Very good. Touché. Good comeback.
You can't get a $1,000 panel-ready refrigerator, all right? but you do pay a premium for that, and I could probably bore your listeners to death as to why you need a particular appliance to accept a wood panel. That's probably for another show.
But I got you.
To just kind of scratch the surface of this, that trend is a panel-ready appliance, and we
do you know what
in
I
other
saw
appliance categories too.
I saw that, you know, I know this is not new, possibly to myself, but I saw the freezer on the bottom of the refrigerator.
Sure.
That you guys have those.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
So a huge trend right now, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's kind of a good topic to talk about. We categorize refrigerators in a bunch of different categories. Probably the ones that we're very familiar with is what we would call a top freezer refrigerator. The freezer is on the top, the refrigerator is on the bottom. Everybody has seen one of those. You probably grew up with one. I grew up with one in my house. My parents had one. The other refrigerator is what we would call a side-by-side refrigerator. So if you're facing the unit, split, I don't want to say split down the middle, but the left side, the entire left side is a freezer, the entire right side is a refrigerator. So that's a side-by-side refrigerator. The other trend, another refrigerator, is a French door refrigerator. So now we're taking the freezer, we're putting it on the bottom, like you were just talking about, and the refrigerator compartment is up top. Now, why are people doing that, though? Well, one, it looks cool. People like this French door concept of a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. But it also has some real important uses. For instance, market research tells us that people are generally in their refrigerator 80 to 90% of the time. The rest of the time, they're going into their freezer. Yeah. So if I put the freezer on the bottom and I put the refrigerator on the top, all of the
more
sudden,
room.
Well, more room, and all of a sudden, the stuff that I access all the time is basically at eye level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having to bend down. You know, if you have a top freezer refrigerator, you got to bend down to get into the refrigerator compartment, but you don't have to do that with a French door.
Gotcha.
So you get that benefit of accessing the stuff you go to the most at an eye level. Additionally, the benefit of a French door refrigerator, particularly compared to a side-by-side refrigerator, is width. That refrigerator compartment is now the full width of that refrigerator, so I can fit larger items that maybe I couldn't fit in a side-by-side refrigerator.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it just expands the square footage. We're talking about square footage.
And people, you know, and your listeners are foodies. They're buying fresh food more than they're buying frozen food. You're increasing the fresh food storage area with a French, with a French store refrigerator.
I mean, take out this food, the cooking, more cooking. Everything's going
to fresh vegetables, fresh meats. We're not doing those frozen TV dinners as much anymore.
Okay, let's see. The coffee system. I saw you you guys have the coffees. Is there any? I know coffee machine makes coffee, but is there something new possibly coming on? You know, from
some of the coffee machines, really all of the coffee machines that we sell, they grind the beans fresh for every cup. So you're not putting coffee grinds in there. But these coffee systems take coffee to the next level because in addition to
there's another level. There's more levels.
There's, in appliances, there's always another level.
Okay. I got you.
So these machines not only grind a whole bean fresh for you so you get that fresh cup of coffee, but you can hook up a milk reservoir to them and now so if you like your cappuccino in the morning instead of a cup of coffee, you can make a cappuccino in this and it'll steam the milk, it'll put the foamed milk on top of it. If you like your macchiato from your local coffee place, now you can make that macchiato at home. And it steams that milk. It puts that foam on all the different layers that a macchiato has. So it's really taking this coffee to the next level. And these machines, I mean, these are for coffee lovers. You know, if you're a one cup in the morning type of person, this machine probably isn't for you. But if you really, really like your coffee, it's something to consider. You know, it's a very, very advanced machine.
Yeah, where you just stand up if somebody says something against your coffee. You just like, hey, don't talk about my coffee, man.
Exactly.
Like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, we have one in the showroom here. And believe me, the sales staff is always making coffee out of this thing. believe me. Yeah.
Let's see. What's another item? You know, the a lot of chefs and at home is the gas ranges and the electric ranges for the stove. How's those two items? Any new type of areas in those?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we see, let's start with gas first. So gas ranges, I would say the most common size of gas ranges, they're all categorized by width. Okay. So the most common size is probably a 30-inch range, and you can basically tell what size of range you have at home by counting the number of burners. If you've got two burners in the front, two burners in the back, you probably have a 30-inch range. But these things get wider now. They come in a 36-inch size, so now I've got six burners. You got six burners in a larger oven. Now they come in a 48-inch size, so now you can get eight burners, a main oven, and a companion oven. And then you've got the behemoth at 60 inches, so that's double the size of what I would consider a normal size range. And now you're getting up to 10 burners. You're getting two main ovens. It's pretty expansive. So you can if you want that double oven, but you don't have the cabinet space to put in a true double wall oven, you can get that 48-inch range, and you've got two ovens. So that's kind of the trend that we see in gas ranges of if people are redoing their kitchen, they're not sticking with the same size. They're getting a larger range. Okay.
That makes sense because the kitchens are starting to move. You know, the square footage of the kitchens are pretty nice sizes, and, you
correct.
Know, they're really – yeah, I mean, maybe you want to cook the guy.
Yeah. Now, in terms of electric – electric's a bit of a different beast because there's only so much electricity a unit can draw and still power the oven, still power the burners on top. So there's at a 30-inch size, that's pretty much what you have. You can go a little bit smaller. There's some examples of a 36-inch size, but they're few and far between, but that's about it. You can't get a 60-inch electric range. They're just not out there. They're not available.
Gotcha. That makes
sense. But going back to what we talked about with cooktops and induction, is you can get an induction range now. So you're getting all that technology, that induction technology, and you're putting it into a 30-inch range. So that's kind of the trend. I see a lot of people getting an induction range nowadays. Yeah.
Now, as time is going on, as we go to the spring and the summer, one of our favorite time of the year is grilling outside.
Sure.
Grilling.
Yeah.
And I know you guys do... you have the topics, the news for the grills.
Sure, sure. We do.
For the barbecue, you know what I mean? The way you said it, Carl, you're like, we do,
oh, yeah.
Brian,
We've got those too. And I'm gonna branch out a little bit past the grill, okay, because a huge trend that we're seeing and we've seen for a few years now, and I can only imagine it's across the country as well, is that people are deciding that they're not going to move, they're not going to upgrade to a larger home. They're going to stay where they are, but they're going to renovate their home to meet their needs. So what we're seeing is people forgoing just buying a grill, and they're going outside and making a true outdoor kitchen. So they're getting the grill, they're getting an outdoor refrigerator, maybe they're getting an outdoor ice maker, so you don't have to go inside to get ice, it's right there. So you're seeing a whole outdoor entertainment area that's kind of centered around the grill and the other outdoor appliances. So it's gone much past just getting a grill and taking a couple hot dogs out there and cooking them. Now it's we're going to cook the stuff out there. We're going to hang out there. All our beverages are out there. I've got
their entertainment
out there.
Is out there. The
correct,
sun, the
correct.
Grass.
And yeah, it's that outdoor
the music.
Kitchen. Yeah, outdoor kitchen. So you're getting a grill. We've got a variety of sizes, just like ranges, okay? And which size you want is all going to depend upon what that customer is looking for in that particular setup. But the trend is we're moving beyond the grill, and we're doing a whole outdoor kitchen.
Wow. Can you imagine 15 myself? Placing that order, Connor.
You
know,
sometimes people's outdoor kitchens are nicer than their indoor kitchens.
Yeah, I can just see myself. You know, I'd like to take a, you know.
right.
Now, are there any type of things that you're seeing that you foresee in a couple of years from now, today, that you're going to see that people don't know about, that we may not know about?
Sure.
You know?
Well, you know, I kind of joke around with clients when they come in the showroom. Think about where cell phones have gone in the past 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't even have iPhones 10 years ago.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
That whole category of smartphone, just it didn't even exist. It wasn't there. So we're seeing that kind of smart technology beginning to come into appliances. And what I mean by that is there's ovens out there that hook up to your computer network at home, your internet connection at home, and there's an app for your smartphone, and you can turn that oven on from work. So if you know, oh, I'm going to be home in 20 minutes and I'm going to cook that roast, I want to turn my oven on right now so it's preheating. So by the time I get home, I don't have to wait for it to preheat. It's all ready to go and I'm putting the roast in. We're seeing a trend to what some people call smart appliances. Some people call them connected appliances. And all that stands for is it's going into that network and you can control it from your smartphone. How about this? I mean, there's appliances out there that are diagnosing themselves. If there's a problem with it, it sends a message to the manufacturer. It prompts the manufacturer to give you a call to say, hey, your refrigerator isn't performing the way it's supposed to be performing. We'd like to set up a service call for you.
Can you imagine? And then the appliance people call and say, yeah, your refrigerator called us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And
I'll tell you what, Brian. I don't think we're that far away from.
No, you know, you're right. I'm sitting there laughing. But I've been thinking 5 years from now. 5 years from now, I do see that happening. Yes, I do.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sitting there laughing, but I don't need to be laughing. You're right.
It's happening now. Well, think about this, right? We go to the grocery store, right? And a lot of times we're scanning our own items, right? We're checking ourselves out.
Yeah, we are.
Store.
We're not even a cashier anymore.
Okay. Well, that all works off of the barcode technology, right? I wouldn't be surprised if we see in the next 10 years refrigerators that as you put food into the refrigerator, it scans it. So it knows what you have inside the refrigerator, and you just press a button. It tells you what recipes you can make based on the items that are already inside the refrigerator.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what I see coming down the road, but it's going to be smart technology. How can we take all this technology that we have in our phones, in our computers, and incorporate that into our appliances, washers, dryers, all that stuff?
Wow. Oh, man, Colin, we just wanted to, you know, just to share the trends. And now how can they, I want to, when the show's on, I want to show pictures of the new trends, you know, so people can look at some of the pictures. And how can they reach you online? And
you can go to Kiefersblog.com, or there's a link right at our website, Kiefers.com.
Well, man, there it is, Kiefers.com. Thank you, Connor, for being on our show, telling us a new some of the trends you were saying. I was like, whoa. I was just in like you said, you don't know what I was getting. They were really cool.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah, absolutely.
Really cool.
Everybody thinks an oven is an oven, and that's just not the case anymore. These appliances are pretty wild.
Well, thanks for being on our show on Flavor Living Radio.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Appreciate it.
All right. That was our show here on Flavor Living Radio. We want to thank Karner for being on our show with Kiefer's Appliance. Please go to their website, check out what they have. They have like a virtual tour showroom, and they really have the latest trends, as you heard the show on what's happening here in 2016 and beyond. But thanks for being on our show. Well, wait a minute. We have an announcement to make. I need to get my announcement theme music. What? One second. Theme. Oh, hold on one second. Okay, this is our announcement. We've been working on this for a while now. This is something in the works. We now have a radio station that plays. That's right, 24. You can hear our shows, and we have more hosts. If you go to GoFlavorGo.com, you will see two items. You will see a TV streaming channel and a radio station due to Tiki Live. Yes, what a great company. They have allowed us to partner up, and we're with those guys as a broadcaster. And you can hear there many hosts. We have Nancy at Noon with advice. People send in email questions to her, and she answers great solutions for life living, for positive and helping you out in your day-to-day life. She's from Canada. She's been a cool host, man. Nancy at Noon, you can hear her show. We have a Christian music radio show. We have another advice show where a gentleman, he does advice for relationships to help guys out. Yes. Yes. He has a guy relationship show. And we also have Jules from the UK. She has her show as well. So we're going to have more radio hosts that will be on Go Flavor Go and many different TV shows. And we're just trying to bring some spice online, offline. We're new. We just launched a couple weeks ago. So hope you enjoy. We hope we bring you the best materials and insight that we have. Well, drive safe and eat well and have a great week. And thanks for listening to Flavor Living Radio.
Even if I was wrong, you know I'm never wrong. Why disagree? Why disagree?